Nightingale, written by Fiona McIntosh and read by Madeline Leslie. Claire watched the morphine work its magic beneath the flickering light she'd now become used to. The soldier's body began to relax immediately and, although he had not cried out once, his features slackened as relief arrived through the sting of a needle. She let out a breath on his behalf, glad that he could drift away for a while, and reached for the pencil to record the dosage. It was only in this moment, as she considered the date, that Claire became fully aware she had been on the hospital ship for nearly a month, plying the waters in the triangle of Turkey, Greece, and Egypt. She had finished her nurse's training in Britain and had already been working full-time for 2 years in one of the top teaching hospitals there. Claire had left Australia, where she'd lived from 10 to 17, only to sail back to the England of her birth, believing if she could move among the familiar places of her childhood, she might be able to recapture that wonderful, naive happiness she recalled. Claire's yearning, however, had turned out to be more about the people who had populated her childhood than the places. And all of those people she belonged to and remembered with love were now dead. No one waited anxiously for her return in Australia or Britain, nor for a telegram or letter, not even for news on the grapevine of her well-being. So she'd gladly volunteered to leave England to nurse soldiers embroiled in this terrible war. Assuming she'd be sent to France, she had instead found herself on a Greek island with a daring team of medicos who defied the woeful conditions, climate, and food supply to set up the tented hospital known formally as Australian General Hospital 3, or MUDROS. That had all changed in April, when the Allies' push for the Dardanelles had become a reality, and she once again cast aside fear to join a legion of tanned, joshing young men who had volunteered from Australia and New Zealand for an adventure on the other side of the world. They were doing their bit for king and country, planning to return to their farms and simple lives with heroic tales of war, but theirs was an empty daydream. In the galley, waiting to be taken for surgery, a young man's laboured breathing turned to a familiar death rattle that Claire's nursing ear was finely attuned to. She quickly hooked the medical notes onto the end of the bed of her sleeping soldier and hurried to the struggling youngster's side. There had been no time to even learn his name. One of the other nurses looked over in inquiry, but Claire shook her head. He would be gone in moments. She took his hand because his gaze seemed to be staring far away,